Hey, everybody. It is Tim Gillette. We're back here with another episode of the Tim Gillette Show. You know, I love this podcast because I get to know or find out about some of the most interesting people in the world. I get to interview them. It's kind of like my one-on-one process where I get to know you and by bringing you on as a guest on my podcast. Well, today's guest is someone that I kind of know. We've kind of been friends for a few years. I think we know a few secrets about each other that we don't reveal on camera. I'll just put it that way. We just know that about each other. But we're great friends. I have supported this woman's, I call it a ministry, but if you want to call it a business, you call it what it is. I have supported her long before I knew her. And when we got to be in a mastermind together, I found out how much I really clicked with this woman and how much she is really helping women. And she helps a few guys. Can I say that? She helps a few guys, but she designed her business to help women. And she has been a huge influence to women around the world, as well as to this guy. I'm going to say, been a huge influence to this guy. But today's guest is my good friend, Deborah Kagan. Hi, Deborah.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
So Deborah, like finally, I get you on my newest version of my show. We get to hang out. I know all these things about you, but I'm going to ask you on camera anyway.
Well, it's exciting.
It is. So first of all, I put the grandest question out today for when I was displaying this today saying, what is a mojo mindset expert, a mojo recovery specialist? And I thought, what a way to break them to go, what is that?
What? That is not on the career sheet when we are choosing things in grade school.
It wasn't on mine. I probably would have checked that one off.
There was no box to tick for that. Yes, I like to blaze trails. I do. You know, I have to say I'm very blessed in that my career has been completely unique and innovative. Mojo recovery specialist is something that, yes, is self-created, and it's in the field of personal development, right? So what I do is I support women in reclaiming confidence, feeling amazing in their own skin, and living a turned on life. So that's the short answer of it.
Okay. You know, I'm going to say this, and I don't want this to come off of being, you know, guyish. Let's face it, Deborah, all right, everything you do turns me on. Again, I don't want to make that in the wrong way, but literally, I find it interesting that you are empowering women, all right? And while some of the language you use could be turn-on-ish to guys, I find it empowering that you are actually out there making these women and helping these women discover some really cool stuff.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I mean, we have to also, I think, put into context what mojo is. It's our life force. I mean, everybody has it. You have it. I have it. You know, every single, there's nobody who does not possess mojo because it is life force. Mm-hmm. It's chi, it's ki, it's prana, like whatever word and verbiage you want to use. It's the energy that everybody is born with that is the thing that people feel from you before you ever open your mouth, right? And so, yeah, I like to have play with words. I'm into language, and I think it's fun to, you know, sometimes use titillating and provocative language because what does it do? It wakes people up. It ignites the energy, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so, honestly, in this day and age, it's like whatever gets you in the door to connect and turn the volume dial up on your own mojo, we're mm-hmm. all going to be better for it. Mm-hmm. And when I say live a turned on life, sure, you could think about it in the sexual turn on way. And that's great because there is a shit ton. Oh, am I allowed to curse on your
Yeah, podcast? You can curse. It's my okay. show.
So, I was like, sorry, you know, because as you know, on my podcast, it's with everything goes.
I know. It's like, well, no, in both of our worlds, it's like now we've got to ask that. Can I say those words on your
Well, I want to be respectful of the host, right? Yeah. And I mean, I know you and I, as you introed me, because we get to hang and talk freely, and mm-hmm. I respect that your public podcast. So when I say turn on, it's not necessarily about a sexual turn on. It's literally like, are you turned on by your life? Mm-hmm. Are you turned on by what you are doing every day? Are you turned on by, you know, the friends that you hang out with? Meaning like, does it just light you up? whatever it is, friend, family member, you know, job, vacations you're taking, books you're reading, movies you're watching, things that you're listening to, podcasts, so on and so forth. We don't have time anymore. I don't know if we ever did actually have time for this, but we really don't have time to put anything that doesn't turn us on into, you know, our ear holes and, you know, into our eyesight and into our, you know, what you eat. Do you enjoy what you eat?
Yeah.
So anyhow, I'm not passionate about any of this.
Yeah. Well, no, when I say that with you and turned on, I've always thought about, you know what I mean? Like I can go to have food with you and be turned on by the fact that, oh my God, this is great food. Oh my God. Can you believe the air today? Oh my God. It's like you have that mojo about you that makes me go, am I enjoying everything that is around me at this present moment in time? Am I turned on? Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And P.S. those tacos, by the way, that we had in Texas were, I still think about those tacos because I like some tacos and tequila. But in any case, you know, I wrote the book, Find Your Me Spot, right behind me here, right? I wrote that book because here's the deal. I mean, this is a fact. We experience our life through our senses. Mm-hmm. So what are you putting in to your sensual input? Some things, obviously, when we're driving, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into our senses every single day that we don't necessarily have control over. So the things that we do have control over, become conscious of that, become aware of that, appreciate those moments. And as simple and honestly, you know, some people are like, that is just too simple. I'm like, here's the deal. Mojo is simple. I'm not going to say it's easy. And it is incredibly simple. So when you become conscious and awake to your senses and begin to input and acknowledge the things that do bring you pleasure, that do turn you on, you are automatically amping the dial on your mojo. Yeah.
Well, I mean, were you always this way, like you always found the turn on, or was there a point in time in your life that you hit a wall where you had to go, oh my God, I got to do something different that you found?
Oh, Tim, you know, this whole thing got birthed because I thought I had, quote, lost my mojo. Mm. No, I mean, you know, I mean, and I'm very public about all of my history because, I mean, most of my work is built on my own experience and using my own life as the guinea pig for the tools and the practices and the mojo system that got created. And, you know, I had a very functionally dysfunctional childhood. So there was childhood, of course, conditioning to definitely not be connected to my own mojo. And when I consciously got on this path, it was after a marriage, which was not a terrible marriage. It's simply that, you know, we were really good friends first. And frankly, we were just better friends than husband and wife. Mm-hmm. And during the years of our marriage, I felt like I had lost myself. I felt like I'm from New York originally, you know, there's just that sassy kind of fiery New York thing. And I felt like I had lost that. But what was really interesting was when I consciously got on this path, which was almost two decades ago now, of my own self-study. What I realized was even the confidence, the moxie, you know, the mojo that I thought was, you know, was kind of the way to have it. What I realized was it was like a mask of the mojo instead of the actual mojo is the best way I can describe it, I think. And yeah, so I went on this quest for myself, frankly, just to become the most embodied, comfortable in my own skin, owning myself fully as a woman. And then what happened was there were other women who wanted and needed it too. So here we are.
Yeah. So in your path, while you're out there discovering you and you're discovering your mojo, all right, you now run into other women. Do you catch them at that low point now? Or at that low point, are they seeking you out? I'm just curious now how that comes about with, because I know you're helping a ton of women.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Over the years, I've realized there are two avenues that women connect with me, right? So there's, it's really, there are two roads. There's one road where, you know, you as a woman, you've been through something that we would call like a life-changing experience, whether it is a breakup, a divorce, maybe your kids are now grown and you're empty nesting. There could have been a significant career change or a desire, you know, to leave what you're leaving, but some kind of powerful life transition where it seems like, uh-oh, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't even necessarily know who I am anymore. Help, right? Mm-hmm. Like there, it feels like the, you know, the wind has just been sucked out of you and where is the mojo? So that's the one avenue. The other avenue that women come to me from is, you know, for those of you women who never had a role model, you never had the permission to be a, you know, fully alive, sensual, you know, mojo-licious woman that just wasn't in the realm of anything that was okay for, you know, how you grew up and where you grew up. And so those women, and for those of you who are in that camp, you know, you generally find me because then they get to a place as well where they go, wait a minute, there's something missing or there's something more. And they can't quite put their finger on it. And yet they know that there is this mojo within them. It's not like a conscious knowing yet, but it's like this, it's a feelingness. And is that a word? Feelingness? I'm going to make that a word.
We make our own words.
Hey, look, I made up Mojolicious. I've trademarked it. It's my proprietary word. So, but in any case, they have a feeling where it's like, okay, I want that thing and have no idea how to get to it. So that's generally the two roads where women find me. And the cool thing is, Tim, you know, you and I have talked about this. And you've come to and hosted one of my talks, you know, when in Texas, and you've heard me speak. But I'm also very practical. There's a ton, of course, of what I would consider the invisible energetic side of life, and you know, thank goodness for scientists because quantum physicists have proven really what mojo is at this point, and that our life and our world is energetically based. So there is so much that I teach on the energetic side. However, I'm a New Yorker, as I've said, and I'm super practical, and I love having a system, which is how the mojo pillars got created. Right. So there are these four pillars to mojo, mojo, four letter word. And I share that because it's when you, you know, like anything, when you have a structure, everything becomes so much easier. Again, I was talking about it's very simple, but when there's that structure, the ease and the grace definitely comes into play. So, yeah.
And I know we could spend hours going down this. I know that we could, but one of the things I wanted to talk with you about today, because I noticed, all right, and I'm subscribed, is you got a new podcast out there that's been going pretty strong the last couple months.
Yeah, I do. The Real Undressed, which is very much been a passion project of mine. And it's a conversation that I've been having for a long, long time. In fact, you know, the work that I started, which is now the Rock Your Mojo brand, right? There are the events and there are the Rock Your Mojo programs and my mentorship program that I run and all of that. The genesis of that was 11 years ago out of my living room. And I started a group that was called the Pussy Power Posse. So I was a little ahead of my time, as I tend to be, and the world was not as accepting of that phrase and that word. So Rock Your Mojo became, you know, it's what it transformed into. However, the conversation really began about elevating the conversation around spirituality and sex. Because many people think that those are on the opposite ends of the spectrum, right? Spirit and sex. How could that actually, you know, be combined? To me, there's no difference, right? It's one and the same. And so the podcast, The Real Undressed, I get to speak to wonderful leaders in the fields of spirit and spiritual leadership, as well as sex educators. Mm-hmm. So we've got two episodes that happen every week. Tuesdays are what I call my truth and tequila Tuesdays, because as I mentioned, I like my tequila. I like my agave spirit.
Yeah.
You know, I'm actually quite, I love tequila, but I'm quite fond of mezcal, you know, which also agave.
I heard something like tequila makes your clothes fall off.
Really? Huh. You know what? You never drink tequila around me. So I don't know. Now I know. Now I know your trick. But in any case, maybe you're
trying to be a gentleman. I don't know.
Oh, right. That. Okay. Well, you know, being a gentleman. Yeah. Southern gentleman. But on Tuesdays, I drop a shorty, as I call it. It's a little shorty episode. It's a solo episode I call Truth and Tequila. And it's great because I get to answer questions from the community. And there's some amazing questions that are, you know, some very sex specific questions, mm-hmm. some very spirit and mojo specific questions. So there's a ton of beautiful content that's available on the Tuesday episodes. And Fridays are when you'll hear the episode with me and a guest. Mm. So it's been a blast. And I love it so much. And I could talk about, you know, those subject matters every single day for the rest of my life. And I'm sure I will. And for those of you who like that information, check it out.
Have you thought about doing, you know what I mean, just going down this, I mean, Tim and his ideas, have you thought about doing like a pants off podcast? Because you think about it,
well,
they would really never know if you had your pants on or not.
Well, most of my recordings are in the Mojo studio here, so guests do come over, and we do film it, so...
I would say other than that, all right, I would do like the mystery things where, like we were doing it. And it's like, to me, it's just like one of those things, like some of your brand has like a mystery to it.
Yeah.
And that would be like a fun game of mystery. Does she or doesn't she?
Am I wearing pants right now? I don't know. It's the whole fantastic video world, right? That we're all in right now in this bizarre era. So, you know, pants, no pants. I don't know. Is this a bear? Oh,
I have a friend in Colorado who basically, she does this, podcast every Friday, and we've done a live stream since 2015. And I pop on and she always wants to see what she always asks. If you're on, she asks what's on bottom. So you have to get up and show her that you have jeans or whatever it is you have. All right. She's trying to, you know, I mean, just trying to get people to show. And I always thought about that with now the Zoom world. And I thought about your podcast and I'm like, you know, I think it's the undressed thing that made me go there going, you know, that would be an interesting game to play with the audience, you know, kind of like that Glenn Moore shower game he plays anyway. Did we lose your sound? Uh-oh. I think I just lost you. So while we get Deborah back here, all right, guys, go ahead and put your questions in there, all right? Something happened that she popped off the screen, and I'm sure we'll get her back here in a second. But put questions that you have towards Deborah Kagan, and you know, her Real Undressed podcast that we were talking about. Yes, we'll need to connect their mic or cam before you. So disconnected your mic and cam from the stream. Anyway, so today's guest is Deborah Kagan, and she is reconnecting as we see. I'm watching it try to reconnect, and there we go. And she's back.
I am back. I had to put my glasses on to figure that stuff out.
Oh, my gosh. Technical difficulties.
Technical difficulties. My goodness. Yeah. But our mojo is strong enough to, you know, to fix that quickly.
We could always pull it off. So, yeah. Well, Deborah, I know you've had like, a, you know what I mean? This very interesting, you know, path that got you here. All right. And now you're helping women. You have been doing it with live events.
Yes.
COVID-19 hits.
Woo, baby.
How are you doing this with your live events now? How are you doing it now?
Woo, 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 baby. Well, I got to tell you something. Here's the good news. The good news is that I have since, you know, for 11 years now, had built an online virtual business. Mm-hmm. So like you, we thankfully have been skilled in using online tools long before 2020.
Yeah.
And doing, you know, Zoom events and Zoom things and webinars and so on and so forth. So yes, was I able to do my large in-person event spring and fall this year? No. We translated it into a virtual event, which was, look, it was nerve-wracking. I'm going to be honest, as I always am. And I didn't know, is it going to translate? Because for, you know, and anyone who goes to live events, there's an energy in the room. There's like something that happens. You get to just pop in the hallway, have conversations, you know, connect with people in different ways. So I was a bit concerned. And very happily, I was so surprised in the best way how well my particular event translates, because also the Rock Your Mojo live event is super interactive. It is not a, you know, sort of talk at you event at all. There's embodiment exercises, and there's, you know, frankly, lots of like table exercises. Mm-hmm. And so with this awesome technology that we have available, we were able to pull it off. Mm-hmm. And the women, I mean, everybody said, they were like, we didn't know how this was going to go either. And they were all so appreciative. And they said they really felt the vibe, and many women who had come to the events before. Mm-hmm. So they felt it, and the mojo worked. So that's what we're doing for right now. We're keeping it virtual, of course, to keep everybody safe. Yeah. And to, you know, I mean, what are we going to do? Go put it in a field somewhere right now? It's like, it's still too hot in Southern California to do that all day under a tent.
Yeah. So, Craig and I went to our first live event together the other day.
Oh, that's right.
150 people in the room. We were like,
blown. What was that like?
Normally 300 people are at that event. So basically it was a little more, tables were a little more spread out. And there were some people who, you know, a few people kept their masks on and kept distance. They wouldn't touch hands or anything like that. But for the most part, a lot of us, you know what I mean? We were just so glad to see each other. We're all hugging each other and stuff. But they did have regulations. We had to be in the room. You had to give them your name and email address and contact information.
Right.
In case anything happens, they want to be able to reach everybody and right. let everybody know.
Good.
So that was like, you know, I mean, normally we go to events, they're not like at the front table going, no, I'm sorry, you have to give me this information. No, you had to give it this time because of what if they have to contact everybody? What if there somebody?
But normally everybody's registered, right? So they have that.
Normally everybody is registered. But in this case here, they had to have a specific list of everybody that was in the room.
Okay.
All right.
Did they take your temperature?
No, they did not. Which, you know, I was wondering about that, if there was going to be a temperature thing coming through the door. There was not. I flew a couple weeks ago. I flew out there to California for a day.
What?
And I remember the airport, I had to go through a sensor.
Okay. I got no visit. I got no phone call.
I flew in. I got in at 10:30 at night. Got on my Uber and
I'm
went
sorry.
To Craig's house.
I can't, my microphone's not working anymore. I don't see you.
I was in there. I was there at 10 o'clock at night. 10 the next morning, I was in Craig's car driving it back here to Texas. So, yeah, I was not there long. Yeah.
I see.
But I would have, if I could have, I would have had you pick me up from the airport. Because I was scared to get an Uber. I didn't know what was going on with that. But, oh, my God, I was trying to find friends. Who was willing to pick me up.
What, how long did it take you to drive back?
I was back here in less than 3 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know if you've taken the trip across I-40. I've done it so many times. It was easy to do.
I did I-10 actually earlier. So it was May 28th and mm-hmm. I was going stir crazy. And also because I travel fairly regularly mm-hmm. And I love it. You know, I really love to be out in the world. And so I took a road trip because I had a couple friends in Austin who are also, you know, being very safe and quarantining and this and that. So I said, listen, I'm going to take Lola, my sweet 70-pound pit, you know, who's the best. And we've never done a proper road trip. And so drove, yeah. And I took two long days. I drove like 12 and a 10 and a half hour day on I-10 to get over there.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. I mean, is that the only thing that you've done now with COVID to get out, or what else have you done
It's funny. So I was just going to say, in terms of temperature, I went out a couple weeks ago to go meet a friend for dinner, and we were at, you know, went to a fancy hotel rooftop place. Mm-hmm. I was like, I need a view, a good cocktail and some nice food. And when I walked in, you walk into the lobby of the hotel and then you get in the elevator, of course, to go to the rooftop. Well, when you walk in, there's a very lovely, you know, proper masked man with his gloves on, who directs you over to this small iPad looking thing, mm-hmm. and you just walk towards it and it starts to go do, 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 and hones in on you and took your temperature.
Yeah.
So that was, I was like, wow, I feel like I live in Los Angeles and now I officially feel like I'm in a movie.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It's very strange.
So, no, in my travels though, there was like Winslow, Arizona. It was like the world doesn't exist. They were still out walking the streets with no masks. They were sitting in the cafes, like nothing happened.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's a very interesting time.
Yeah. So
I just want, you know, I feel like everyone's got to be safe, take care of yourself, you know, and be kind to others. That's my MO.
That's the biggest thing you've got to do in this mess. And I agree with you on that, Deborah, is we've got to be kind to others. Cause like that event, you don't know who's not ready to connect with people, but they're trying to come out with a mask on and they're trying to only do elbow bumps. And that's really as close as they want to get. And you got to respect that. You've got to be honored of that. You know, they want to get out too.
Yeah, it's like, look, if you can respect the way that people like to eat, if you can respect also, you know, here's the thing. It's like relationships. Mm-hmm. Not everybody is going to want the same stuff, you know, in or out of the bedroom. But, you know, it's everyone's going to have their preferences, their comfort level. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a huge lesson in being kind and courteous and loving and, frankly, non-judgmental.
Yes.
All of, you know, judgment is one of, I talk about the three dangerous mindsets. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we're judging, there's something that we don't have all of the information about whatever the situation or that person is. And there's fear, you know, when there's judgment, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, fear of something different than yourself. And I'm not saying we all have to agree with one another, and to create space for every, you know, other people's preferences.
Yeah. Yeah. So, which kind of comes back around to what you do, and, you know, I mean, helping people get, you know, with a turned on life. Cause the last thing you want to do is create a turned off relationship.
Yeah. Judgment is not a turn on. And by the way, also, it's like when you live a turned on life, you have the capacity to know who you are, to be confident in who you are, and to allow others to be themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, if somebody is intentionally going to like really harm another person, and I get that we're in a dicey time right now, and some people say if you're wearing a mask, it might harm somebody else. You know, so I get that there's a fine line with all of this in our current time. Mm-hmm. And yet, if you're really not intentionally going out there to hurt other people, it's like, let people have their space, you know, and we don't need to be hating on each other, because that hate is causing, you know, more division within self, which of course then creates more division within the collective. Because here's the deal. One of the foundational things that I talk about all the time, and I know you popped onto my Facebook Live just before this, where I was saying, it all starts with you.
Yeah.
Wherever you are, there you are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so that's why for me, what's most important with the work that I share, it's about creating the individual, creating yourself to be the most mojo-licious, the most filled with life force, the most filled with that turn on, because that has ripple effects into every area of your world. And the more people that are in a space of their mojo, the more love and kindness and power and transformation is possible for us all.
Agreed. 100% agreed with you. So, well, girl, tell everybody, Deborah, the website that you gave me that you wanted me to, this is for the new podcast, right?
TheRealUndressed.com is the podcast site. You can also link up to the live event that's coming up through that site. Mm-hmm. So you can hear the podcast there. You can check out all my live events. You can connect to my main site there as well. But yeah, I would love for everyone to check out the podcast and hey, rate, review, subscribe. It's a Mojo-licious conversation twice a week.
Subscribe. You should subscribe. Yeah. Of course, everything Deborah does, I subscribe to. But anyway. I think you did say last year now you are allowing men into your groups and your events. Is this correct?
You know what, Tim? It's interesting. Yes, that was the plan. However, okay. With this kind of, you know, sideways and upside down and inside out year of 2020, that's on hold.
Okay.
So I just felt like to keep the effort and my focus on women before, you know, really integrating men into the Mojo world is what needed to be for this year. So it's on pause.
Okay. But guys, the men can listen to the podcast, though.
Yeah, right? Of course. The podcast is, you know, for all genders. And and I have to say there's a great free meditation that is, again, for all genders that you can get through the Real Undressed as well. So there's a lot, anything through the Real Undressed is absolutely for all genders.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like it. I like the way you're moving and I like the way you think. All right. Both sometimes you have to think cautiously and you do it. You know, you seem to have this like intuitive thing to know when to do things and know when to go, ooh, wait a minute. I love that about you.
Thank you. Well, intuition, my friend, it lives in the body. And that's one of the things that gets amplified when you have your mojo. Cool. Really cool. Listen to that inner voice.
Cool. So as we wrap down and wind up the podcast here, Deborah, I like to close my podcast out with a game I like to call This or That.
Okay.
All right. I found it, you know, I watched Sammy Hagar do it on TV and I thought, well, I'm cooler than Sammy Hagar.
Yes, you are.
So I've created a small list. Some of them may be specific to you. Some of them are general that I just want to know about everybody.
Okay. I get a little stressed out playing games, but I'm like, I'm here. I'm doing it.
This is a fun game. So trust me, it's fun. Okay. And some of these may have conversations to go with.
Fantastic.
My first one I like to ask to find out who the old-fashioned nerds and geeks are, and that is Star Wars or Star Trek?
Oh, Star Wars.
Star Wars. Like the first round or the...
Yeah. No, the original Star Wars, like, you know, 1970s. Yeah, Star Wars. Yeah.
Cool. My next one here kind of goes to you because you're one, shall we say, on top of it chick. And that is, you wearing high heels or boots?
Oh, well, I like them both. However, because I do live in Southern California where we have warm weather most of the time, I'm in heels most of the time.
Yeah.
So I do love Texas my heels.
All right. You know what I mean? We got our boots out here, you know, yes. And I like to see those girls both in high heels and boots. Just saying.
You know, when I ride my motorcycle, of course I'm in boots because I ain't wearing no high heel stilettos on my motorcycle.
No.
No.
So how about, would you rather wear a dress or yoga pants?
Dress.
I like that. Dressed up. My next one here, I kind of know, but I'm going to ask for the whole world to know. And that is taco or hamburger.
Oh, honey, tacos. I love me some tacos. So, I actually made some really good ones the other night.
Yeah. So I know you're dietary. You know what I mean? You're mostly vegan or vegetarian.
I eat fish and eggs, but I have not eaten any meat since 1991.
Yeah. So like some people come in and go, well, you know, if I'm into no meat, what do I do? And I'm like, tacos. Have you not had a good vegan? I mean, vegan tacos. I've had some of the greatest, I'm not vegan, some of the greatest vegan tacos out there.
I know. They're delicious. And by the way, in breakfast tacos, I'm just going to say my favorite breakfast taco is in Austin, Texas. Veracruz. It's the Veracruz taco.
Yeah. I don't know that one. Yeah.
Oh my God. It's my favorite.
So next one, we go to pets, dog or cat.
Well, I had both, but my kitties are in heaven and I've got my love of my life, Miss Lola Hendricks, and she's a brindle 70-pound pity.
Yeah. Mine's a little kitty who's just on the other side of this desk in his little bed.
Is this the same kitty I met?
Huh?
Is it the same kitty I met?
Yeah, yeah. Sappho. We still got Sappho. He's about 14 years old now.
Well, I know. They're amazing. My kitties lived until 15 and a half and 18.
I know. I hope he makes like 18 or 19, to tell you the truth. I love him that much, but yeah. How about beer or wine?
Wine.
Wine? Red or white?
Red mostly, but if it's summer, it's rosé all day.
Yeah.
Because I do love my rosé in the hot summer.
Have you had the rosé? I got the rosé from Gary Vaynerchuk's new company, Empathy.
Is it good?
It is good. Okay. His red and his white, not so much, but the rosé is fabulous.
All right. I was considering ordering some of that because I do love me some Gary V.
Yeah. Gary V. That's the one. You know, I mean, well, Gary V and wine, I tried it out, but I love that his rosé is my favorite. So.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Good to know. And it's still hot in Southern California.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I know this one here, East Coast or West Coast?
Well, I hail from the East Coast. But, you know, God, that's a tough one, Tim. I am just choosing not to answer that one because I love them both. Because when you say East Coast, right, I'm from New York City, but then I think how much I love New England.
Yeah.
I love New England. I mean, you know, fall, New England. I went to school I adore New England. But if we're East Coast, you also then are talking about, you know, you go down and go into Florida. Mm-hmm. Not a fan of Florida. I only go because my mom lives there.
Not a fan of Florida either. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm getting very like in my head about this question. And then West Coast, obviously I love Southern California. And Bay Area is beautiful too. And Seattle, Washington, you know, all that's great. I have yet to explore Oregon. So, but I have a feeling I'd probably like a lot of that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm going to have to go by
Oregon coast, but I've done Washington coast and I've done, of course, California coast. I've been up and down the California coast.
I'm going to plead bi-coastal on this one.
I mean, this is what I said, something's going to be discussed. All right. There is nothing better than having a street. Well, you're not meat, but street hot dog or street pretzel in New York City.
So
and there's nothing greater than
also the street nuts, you know, those fabulous nuts that you get.
Or sipping wine on the California beach. I mean, come on, these are like, you know, you gotta have both.
Yeah.
I could have said pizza, New York or Chicago, you know.
Well, you know, I'm gonna go with New York on that.
Yeah, I mean, New York is the pizza. It's the defining pizza in America, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
So my next one can be a controversial question, but I love asking it. And that is the toilet paper. Does it go over on the roll or under?
Over, duh. I mean, hello. There are actually names for that too. And my dad in his, you know, the things you find out, but I went to my dad's office, you know, New York City, three, 4 years ago at this point. And in his, so he has his bathroom and like his office space. And so I went in there and there's a little sign that says, you know, to put the toilet paper with the toilet paper over. And I thought, oh, of course, well, I'm his child. So I don't know if that's where that came from, but there was a name for it though, of the style of over or under. Yeah. Which I'm forgetting. So anyway, somebody Google that. And
this question has been one of the interesting ones throughout the year of doing my podcast, because I've gotten people who are like the calmest people during the whole podcast. And then you ask that question and the fangs come out.
What is there? Do you see, is there a majority either way?
Majority over. But I mean, to me, the stories from asking the question are more hilarious than anything.
Well, and what about you? Are you over or under?
I'm a guy. All right. The downstairs like one is over because it's Gwen's bathroom.
Yeah.
My upstairs bathroom. All right. Just so you know, it's also the only room in the house not remodeled when we redid this house. So the toilet paper is sitting on top of the roll.
Oh.
It's just sitting. Yeah.
All right.
It's my office. I'm the only, but the only person who uses that bathroom.
But my question is, so when it's fixed though, which way?
I'll probably do over because that's what Gwen taught me to do it in this house.
All right.
Let's face it. She's the boss of this house. You know that,
I
right?
I get it. Well, of course. You know. Of course, of course.
So my last one here, I normally ask it one way, but I decided to go a different way because of you today. Normally, I would say boxers or briefs, but I'm going to say granny panties or thong.
Seriously? Do we even have to ask that? I'm like, really?
Yes,
really,
Tim, my question is this or that.
I usually would never insult a host. But I feel like that goes without saying. Or, by the way, maybe it's neither. I'm just saying. And ladies and gentlemen, there go the questions. I have stunned Tim Gillette into silence, everybody.
You see why they're such fun. Normally I say the boxers are briefs and I usually pull it, but I'm like, man, I've got to do this with it. You know, I just had to go that route with you.
Are there a bunch of guys who still wear actual boxers?
The most common question I get is boxer briefs.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, cause I feel, you know, it's interesting. I feel like boxers are the granny panties of men.
Yes.
Right. So. Yeah. Okay.
Well, which do you prefer to see your man in, boxers or briefs?
Boxer briefs. Right. But it depends on, hey, look, it depends on also his physique because briefs aren't bad.
Hey, personally, when it comes down to viewing that far, I'd rather she had nothing on, but that's my opinion.
Yeah. Okay? And by the way, yeah, again, because it's like, well, maybe it's none.
Yeah. Yeah. So
how did we wound up here, Tim Gillette?
I told you I have fun on my podcast.
Oh my gosh, you're hilarious. I love it.
So do me a favor, let everybody know, you know what I mean, both the audio and the video, your website one last time so they can get a hold of you, Deborah.
Sure. Check out therealundressed.com. That's REALUNDRESSED.com. Well, therealundressed.com. And that's where you can get all access to the podcasts. They're all posted there. But of course, if you're an Apple podcast person, definitely check it out on Apple Podcasts or whatever your favorite podcast listening platform is. And give it a rating, give it a review, say hello. And please feel free, everybody, to submit a question for the Truth and Tequila episodes. I answer listeners' questions. And I would love, you can be anonymous, by the way. Plenty of people who send in anonymous questions. But send in your questions because it's important. It's important to have this conversation around spirituality and sex, mm-hmm. and so we can normalize it and really reduce the level of shame, because shame is an anti-mojo situation.
Yes.
Right. So we want you in your fullest mojo possible.
I appreciate you coming on today and sharing your message and spending time with our audience today. Thanks. Thank you, as always, Deborah.
Oh, I really appreciate you. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. So to you, the listener, go to therealundressed.com. Check out my friend Deborah Kagan. See, you know, check out her podcast. Listen in. Tune into some of her stuff. You're going to realize why her and I have been friends and why I was overjoyed to be friends with her and how much she has actually got a heart to help people. All right. And really is helping wonderful ladies and some men answering some of life's difficult questions. I'm Tim Gillette with the Tim Gillette Show, and we'll see you next time with another episode. Until then, have a good day. Bye.